I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you, the different churches, and I desire an interest in your prayers. I appreciate the singing, all of it. Appreciate your testimony, Sister Lisa. I know exactly what you're talking about. You say, what do you mean, Brother Johnny? Well, I had mentioned this before, but I want to go into a little more detail if I can. I was away at college. I went to MTSU to play football. And the Lord began to work on me. There was something that was missing in my life. And I'd been saved, knew I'd been saved. I mentioned to you this week that I didn't get saved like I thought I would. I had a shouting mama, a shouting grandmama. So I figured I'd shout. At the very least, I'd see lights or, you know, something magnificent. I don't know. And some of you, I had a granddaddy that had a salvation experience like nobody else's. And I'm thinking, well, goodness gracious, I didn't see all that. I got peace. And I sought the Lord a while, and the burden was gone. I couldn't pray anymore, but I kept thinking, Lord, there's got to be more to it than that. But anyway, I took it and went on. Well, my wife and I were traveling up to MTSU to play football, and we stopped at a place called Walter Hill Dam. And again, like I told you, God always dealt with me with burdens. God wanted to get my attention. It was a burden. Now, I want to be careful. There's a burden we receive, I believe. It's conviction, condemnation. That's the biblical terms. But for young people, I always like to say with children that are, you know, it's a heavy heart or it's a burden. But again, God, it was a different kind of burden. It wasn't a burden to be saved, but it was a burden. And I remember us sitting. We pulled by this. It's called a little dam. It was just a place you could sit, you know, in this outside area. And I remember thinking, last thing I thought before God called me to preach was, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You know, I'm playing football, and I'm thinking, well, I got to decide I'm going to be a school teacher, a coach, or business, or whatever. But it's just like a voice spoke to me and said, whatever else you do, you're going to have to preach the gospel. And I thought, oh, no, 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 no. I just didn't hear that. That can't be what I said. And I said it out loud, and I told you my wife was sitting right next to me. She was my girlfriend then. She wasn't my wife, okay? And I said, the Lord just called me to preach. And she said, well, I don't want to marry a preacher. And I said, well, I don't want to be a preacher. So we ain't got nothing to worry about. You don't say anything, and I won't say anything, all right? Well, it didn't work that way. That was long about September, and I thought, if I didn't finally tell it in October at church, I was just going to die. I just thought, just kill me. I mean, it was, I knew I had to. And my life changed forever. Now, I've been a school teacher and a football coach. I've taught a little bit of everything, and I was a pharmaceutical sales rep. I used to tell them I sold drugs, the legal kind. Did that for a while, and I pastored two churches. I've been a pastor for over 35 years. But God changed my life that day. I mean, my whole focus and purpose in life was not to make a living anymore. And I, you know, I was going to be a millionaire. I had all these big dreams or be the state champion coach. And then in college, you have all these dreams, but God changed all that. And I'm glad that He did. It changed my life. And I'm thankful tonight for that desire. I'd rather see somebody get saved than anything else in the world. Oh, my goodness. You know, I told you last night a young lady got saved at the church I pastored for 27 years. She was on my list. I used to keep a list of the lost. People would come, and I got to check her off last night. Thank God. It's wonderful to hear about people getting saved. There's nothing like it. And I'm thankful tonight that I have the privilege from time to time. I've left the church now, and people say, are you retired? I said, no, I'm just waiting for the next place where God, you know, folks, we retire when we go to glory. And I realize that from our work here, we do retire. But I tell you what, we all need to be on business for the Lord all the time. And I just believe that with all my heart. So anyway, I just felt like I needed to share that with you tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us, if you would. And I'm going to say this. I probably shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. There was a preacher that was headed to the church house to preach, and he got lost. He saw a little boy there. He said, young man, could you help me find this church? And he said, well, yes, sir. He said, come on out. And so they were walking along, and he asked him, he said, what are you going to that church for? He said, I'm going to that church to speak to the people. He said, what are you going to speak about? He said, I'm going to speak about heaven. I'm going to speak about telling them how to get to heaven. And he said, and laughed. And he said, what are you laughing at? He said, where you are, you're going to go to church and tell them how to get to heaven, and you can't even find the church. And I think sometimes, there's a lot of people can't find a church sometimes, isn't it? But anyway, I need to tell you all that so I could calm down just a little bit. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 5th chapter. And I'm going to start reading in the 12th verse of the 5th chapter of Romans. I guess I need to tell you what book, don't I? Romans, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to start in the 12th verse. I'm going to probably go back to the first verse. I preached my first sermon when I was 18 years old. And this is the chapter I preached out of. I'll never forget it. A young lady got saved that night. It was good to get started that way, to see somebody get saved. And Brother Randy, my topic tonight is going to be pretty simple. I'm going to talk tonight about why and how we must be saved. There's a lot of people that don't understand why we need to be saved. You know, and I'll tell you, I want to give you an example of that. My daughter was 7 years old when she got saved. Now, I'll be the first to admit that's just too young. I mean, I was preaching that night, and she was sitting about two rows back from where my wife was, and she was down on her knees playing with her Barbies, all right? And the reason I know that is I couldn't see her, and I knew there was a little girl over there, so they were down playing. I don't even remember what I preached. But now she was 7 years old. Now, I want you to think about this morning. Why does someone need to be saved? Well, certainly, why would a 7-year-old need to be saved? I mean, come on. How much sin had a 7-year-old committed? And I'm thinking down to, and I know you understand the concept of the inheritance of sin from Adam, and we're going to talk about that. But I think it's important even for our children to understand, when is the age of accountability? Well, it's when they realize they were lost. I remember at the end of that sermon, I remember her turning around and sitting up and looking at me, and she's 3 shades of white. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And she peels out of that aisle, and she goes all the way to the back to get her mama. Mama's sitting back there holding my son, and he's a hellion. You know, I mean, she's holding him because he's so mean, and she has to hold him. So she comes back to get her, and my wife hands him to somebody, and she takes her by the hand and drags her down to the altar, and she comes down there, and she begins to pray. And I'm thinking, oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, she's way too young. She's just 7 years old. She don't even know what it's all about. Well, honey, she got down to the altar, and she began to cry out, oh, Lord, save me. Well, Daddy just fell apart. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So you know what I did? I stood right down and I straddled her because I wanted to hear everything that was said to her. You know, I love God's people, but sometimes we get a little zealous, and you know what we'll say? We'll say, don't you feel better? Or we'll say something that just tears me all to pieces. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, you know as well as I do. You have a good cry, you feel better, but that's not salvation. Oh, no, 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 no. So she prayed for about 30 minutes, and about every other breath, oh, Lord, save me. 7 years old now, okay? So she finally quit. She just give out. And so I leaned down. I said, sweetheart, you wanna go home and pray now? She looked up and said, no, Daddy, I want to pray some more. So she let into praying again then. All of a sudden, she stopped, Brother Randy. She had long hair then. She pulled her hair out of her face. She looked up and she said, Daddy, I'm saved. Oh, my goodness. Folks, I won't never forget that. Now, there's some people who would say, well, now you just misled that little thing. She was 7 years old. She was too young to get saved. But you know what, folks? We need to talk. Why do we need to be saved? Okay? Now, so let's look at this. Now, we're going to talk. The book of Romans, I'm going to tell you, if you're not a Baptist tonight, if you'll take the book of Romans and just study it intensely, I'll guarantee you it'll make you a Baptist. Because there can't nobody else explain it like Baptist people can. All right? And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church. Hadn't been there yet, but he wanted to make sure that they were sound. And so you know what he did? He wrote this book and he explained completely how important it was, what Jesus did, why people needed to be saved. And this fifth chapter is the heart of this book, right? Now the first 11 verses we're going to get to, it talks about justification by faith. We're going to get to that. It talks about the peace of God. But what I want to do in this back part of the chapter is I want to talk about where sin come from, where it came from. All right? And why we need to be saved. All right? Now let's look at this for just a moment, okay? It says, wherefore, as by... This is the 12th verse of the 5th chapter of the Roman letter. You need to get your Bibles out and read with me if you can. I'd encourage it heavily. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want to stop there and I want to talk a little bit about this. Now, this is talking about the Adamic curse. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Johnny? Well, we must be saved because of sin. Sin entered this world because, my friend, of what Adam did. Now, let's look for just a few moments. God created Adam and Eve in his image. And you all know that. I'd love to take the time. I was thinking about this today. I don't have time. I need an hour and a half to give you all the history, so I'm not going to do you that away, okay? So let's just go back. God made Adam, and then he made Eve, all right? He placed them in the Garden of Eden, all right? That it was Adam's kingdom. In terms of, Adam was king of all the world now. God put him there, told him to name all the animals. It was his kingdom. And you know what? You know why I know that? Because he said, man shall have dominion over it. And that if a king, if you're the king of a country, you have dominion over the country. God placed him in the Garden of Eden. And he gave him one thing that he wasn't supposed to do. Y'all remember what it was? Well, let's read about it. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 15 and 17. Now, I want you to listen very carefully now. It says Genesis 2, 15, 16, and 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Not to lay around and do nothing. It was fun to work back then. Yeah. It's kind of like I was talking to Brother Tommy. He likes to grow things. My daddy did too. I do kind of. I don't do it quite like they do. But they enjoy. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe we're just going to lay around in heaven. I think we're going to have a job, but you're going to like it. Okay, I'll just say that. Whatever we do up there, you're going to like. All right? So let's go on now. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now listen to that, commanded. He gave him a command, told him not to do something here. And he said, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we all know the story. The devil, Satan, used the serpent, and he deceived the woman. And we all know he put that tree in the garden, told him not to. We don't know what it is. We've always believed it was an apple, but we don't know what fruit it was. But she wasn't supposed to touch it, wasn't supposed to get near it, certainly wasn't supposed to touch it or to eat it. The devil used the serpent, and he tempted her. And the temptation was not so much, well, the Bible says that it was good for food for her to eat. But what I really got her was that she's going to be smart as God. Satan made her believe that God was holding out on her. And you know what? When you and I sin, we think the same thing. Yeah, oh, it's got to be fun. All those other people do it. God's holding out on me. That's what we think when we sin. And you're going to see the similarity here in a few minutes. So you know what she did? Now, and we all know what she did, but I want to back up here a little bit. I want you to see what the consequences of eating that fruit was. Listen to what he says. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Okay? So she took it and she ate it. All right? The Bible said, well, let's go to the third chapter of Genesis, the sixth verse now. It says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, it says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She ate it. All right? Now, if it had stopped right there, then the woman would have been the only one that sinned. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe Jesus would have come and died on the cross for her. All right? However, the Bible says she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. Now, something happened the very moment that they ate. Okay? They died. You say, oh, no, Brother Johnny. No, they didn't. The Lord cursed them and threw them out of the garden. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And you say, well, Brother Carver, can you prove it? I can. You know what they did? They realized they were naked. Before, there was no shame. But all of a sudden, now they're exposed to God. And you know what they did? What every other denomination, every other religion in the world is trying to do tonight, trying to cover their sin. So they've sold fig leaves, all right, to hide from God. They sinned and they were separated from God. Before that time, the Bible teaches us that they walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. They were in a happy and holy estate. Had no idea what sin was. Now they were sinful. All right? Now go back with me to the 12th verse and let's read this again. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. What happened, my friend, when Adam sinned, that sin curse came upon all human beings now. That's the inherited sin. We inherit that from Adam. We are sinners because we sin. Or we sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. There we go. That's what I mean. We sin because we're sinners. We don't become sinners because we sin. We already have the sin within us. All right? That's what you need to understand. You inherit that sin. Now, I know this is what I used to think. I used to think, God, that's not fair. How come we're sinners because Adam sinned? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I believe with all my being because of who we are. I believe if it had been Johnny Carver in the garden with Miss Jill, she'd eat the fruit and I would too. Yeah. And it'd have been you. We all would. So I think it's by the mercy of God that the way he made the plan of redemption to save all us. Because every one of us, and you say, well, Brother John, you really believe that? I do. Now, let me give you an example of why I believe that. You take Nalen right now. Nalen's a pretty good boy, all right? But I'll tell you what you do. You sit out a candy dish, and Miss Connie, you can probably tell me whether you do it or not. And you tell him, I don't want you to get near his favorite candy right there, okay? And then you go in the next room and you leave him sitting right there looking at that candy dish. I'm going to tell you what I think he's going to do. Well, you think he's going to do. I'm going to tell you he'd do exactly what I'd do. He'd get in that candy dish, wouldn't he? Yeah. You see, it's our nature to disobey, all right? So, my friends, if the law never came, just by our nature, we're sinners and we need a Savior. All right? Now, go on with me here. For until the law, sin was in the world. All right? People died naturally. Adam died spiritually instantly, and then he began to age. And in time, he died. All right? But even before the law came, people died. So why did they die? Because of the inherited sin of Adam. All right? But now listen to what the Bible says here. But until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. So what in the world did the law do? Well, what the law did is revealed our sin. And let me tell you, when you have the Ten Commandments, once you commit a sin, you know what happens? A sin is imputed to you. Before we had the law, we had a conscience and understand right and wrong, but we were sinners and they needed to be saved because of the Adamic curse. Now today, you and I have the Adamic curse and we also have the imputed sin. For the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. By the knowledge of sin, by the law is the knowledge of sin so that we need to be saved. So say we get a double whammy. We inherit the nature of sin. And then, and then, my friends, there's the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not. Okay? And see, and we need to be teaching our children. The reason you need to be saved, you're a sinner. Now, as a seven-year-old, we'd probably talk to Rachel a little bit about being saved, but not a whole lot. But you know what? She'd been in church, and she's knee-high to a grasshopper. She'd sit under the gospel. She'd heard her daddy preach. She'd heard other preachers. And someone would say, well, Brother Johnny, what's the important thing to do then? Get your babies in the house of the Lord from the time that they can say, dad, dad, and mama. As a matter of fact, you need to bring them before they're born. And you know how that works, don't you? Yeah, I don't have to go any further. They need to be. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe they're probably listening pretty good already, just to be honest with you, while they're in there. Get them here in the house of the Lord. Can't emphasize that enough. You know, I hear people say all the time, those people need too much. They need more church than I do. No, they don't. Your babies need to hear the gospel, my friends. You need to understand today that we need to be saved because of sin. Your sin was brought. Sin brought death to all mankind. I want you to listen. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die. Now I'm gonna get into the part of how Jesus rescued us, but because of Adam, folks, we all die. And sin is the reason that we die. And people need to understand it. We as the people of God, you know, it's amazing. The reason they're trying to do away with the Ten Commandments in every capacity is because people do not want to face their sin. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, when any time in the Word of God before Jesus saves someone, you know what they'd always say? I'm a sinner. I need the Lord. I tell you what, one of the best things a sinner can do, in my opinion, is to say, I'm a sinner, or I'm lost, or I'm separated from God. They need to hear themselves say that. I believe with all of my heart. You see, the Bible teaches in Genesis 3, listen to Genesis 3, 17, 18, and 19. And to Adam is said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree which I commanded thee. And I want to stop here. The Lord answered his question. You remember what Adam said when God asked him if he'd eaten the forbidden fruit? You remember the first thing out of his mouth? It's just like the world answers today. Lord, that woman you gave it to me and I ate it. He didn't blame it on the next fella. He blamed it on God. You're the one that gave her to me. What'd you give her to me for if you knew she's going to do that? Well, come on, folks. You know what? You don't need any help to sin. It's just our nature. Thank God when you get saved, it's kind of like Lisa said, you can move on in sanctification if you choose to do like Brother Randy talked this morning, follow the Lord. But we're still going to battle sin long as you live. And I tell you what, it's harder to battle it today than it's ever been because there's so much more of it. You can see it on your phone. You can see it on the TV. You see it everywhere. You can't even watch the news. They show stuff on the news now that would have been R-rated about 10 or 15 years ago. You see, my folks, sin is all around us. And so it's important that you and I understand that that's the reason that people need to be saved. Because of sin. That thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And he's talking about, and in sorrow thou shalt eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So he shared with them the problem with sin and the repercussions of sin. And folks, I want you to know it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. I saw the movie, and some of you have probably been hearing about it. Jen, I watched it the 3rd of July, The Sound of Freedom. Folks, if you knew some of the things that were going on, you need to see that movie. I would encourage you to watch it. There's some of the things that are going on, children being trafficked, 5 years old, things going on that'll blow your mind. Oh, my goodness, it's so important that we as the people of God understand that the reason that you have to be saved, the reason that people need to be saved is because there's sin in their lives and they need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to redeem them. You see, and there's only one payment for sin. It's not, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I won't do it again. You know, did you know a holy and a righteous and a glorious God cannot overlook your sin? And you know why he can't? Because if he overlooked your sin, he would cease to be holy. See, a holy God can't just let sin go. Oh, no. You know the only thing that atones for sin is death. Paying the penalty for your sin. You know what the Bible says? The wages of sin is what? Death. Yeah, that's the outcome. Oh, aren't you glad this evening that Christ Jesus in all of his glory and all of his wonder... Read with me now in the 5th chapter of Romans. Listen carefully to what it says. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is imputed when there is no law. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. Now, what he's doing is Adam in his kingdom on this earth, my friends, he was king over this earth. And when he sinned, my friend, he lost this kingdom. And you know how usurped that kingdom now? The Bible teaches us that the god of this world is who? It's Satan himself. But thank heavens, Jesus Christ came and is going to show us here to set up his glorious kingdom so he can be redeemed into that kingdom. That's, again, why we need to be saved. He said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, also as the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. We're going to get back to that, but I want to still talk about Adam here now. And not as if it was by one that, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment by one was by one to condemnation. Adam's sin brought sin on all of us. It brought condemnation on all of us. That's what he's saying. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense one judge, by the offense of one, just the one sin of Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification by life. And you see what Paul is doing here. He wants to make sure they understand what the sin is. And now here in just a few moments, we're going to talk about what the remedy is. But the first thing I want us to understand this morning, this evening, is that we need to be saved because of sin. Young person, if you're 8 years old or 9 years old, or if you're 80 years old, you need to be saved because you are a sinner. And you are a sinner because you inherited that sin nature from Adam. We all have that sin nature. And the confirmation of that, then the law was given to give a double affirmation of the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Now, what did God do about it? Now, that's what we like. That's what we want. What's the remedy? How can we be justified before God? And if we're justified before God, you know what that means? That means God treats us just as though we've never sinned. When he saves our soul, my friends, Jesus Christ's blood applied to us, then what God sees is the blood of Christ and our sins washed away. But you know what? There were sins there. But thank God, when we put our faith and trust in him, the sins are washed away. Now, we can be saved because Christ died for our sins. I mentioned a minute ago that because of sin, the only remedy for sin is death. That the penalty for sin, for humanity, is death. Either you die in your sins or Christ Jesus dies for your sins. It's up to you. All right, let's see how that works. Jesus Christ died for the sins of Adam and of mankind. Look at verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Jesus Christ was humanly divine and divinely human. Now, what in the world does that mean? That tells us that he was man and he was God. No less God when he became man, but man enough, my friends, to have the humanity just like you and me. He got his feelings hurt just like you did. I tell you, when he's a boy, if he's running down a hill and he tripped and skinned his knees, my friends, he bled just like you did. And you know why it was so important for him to be a man? He had to be a man so he could be the sacrifice for you and me. There's a couple of things that are really important that you need to understand about this human Jesus, though. The first thing is that the seed of God was placed in a young woman. So the Adamic curse didn't apply to Jesus Christ. You say, why, Brother Johnny? Because God, the Bible teaches us, the Holy Spirit tells us in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit placed the seed of God into the young virgin. All right? So Jesus was born not of the seed of Adam, my friends, but of the seed of God. So right now you can see that you don't have to worry about the Adamic curse. He was not born like of Adam. He was born differently. It was the seed of God. All right? And then the Bible teaches us that he knew no sin. As a matter of fact, in the second chapter of Corinthians, or in the second Corinthians, the fifth chapter, the 21st verse, the Bible said, he who knew no sin, talking about Christ, became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you know what that did? That made him, my friend, a supreme sacrifice for you and me. I want to read another passage of scripture. Look, if you would, with me in Philippians 2, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And it says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and everything should bow of things in heaven and in things in earth and in things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ came into the world, my friends, to go to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of the whole world. All right? But there's a catch to that, though. It's got to be applied by you putting your faith and trust in him. You see, Jesus Christ is our only hope of being saved. He's your only hope. In the Bible, and he said himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father except what? By me. Now, how is that, Brother Johnny? Well, I want you to read on with me. Read in the 19th, 20th, and 21st verse of the 5th chapter of Romans. Let's read some more of this. It says in 19th verse, as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. Many, and that word many, if you study it carefully, it covers all. We're all made sinners because of the one man. Adam brought sin on all of us, right? Now listen, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Why did the Lord send the law? To magnify our sins. See, first of all, God gave us a conscience of what's right and wrong, but we can sear our conscience. All right? And then when we talk about the fact that we have the Adamic curse, sometimes people don't buy that. Whether they buy it or not, it doesn't make any difference, all right? But I tell you what the law does. The law reveals our sin. And again, the Holy Spirit of God revealing our sin, there's that condemnation, all right? And then listen to what else it says. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that we might see how bad of sinners we are. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And remember I mentioned the other day, the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. My friends, grace is applied, my friends, because Christ went to the cross and died for you and me to take away all of our sins. And he did. You know, I used to get asked occasionally, how much of Christ's blood do you think it took to save your soul? You ever think about that? How much of it do you think it took? A drop? Two drops? I'm going to tell you what I think. All of it. Had to get all. Yeah. But you know what's amazing, though? There was enough blood shed on Calvary to save every man, woman, boy, or girl that ever be born on the face of this earth. Everybody. Now, that's pretty amazing to me. Now, will everybody be saved? No. But why? Because the grace must be applied. You know what's happened? When Christ died, all the blood was put in the blood bank. Right? But you know, it's just like the money you have now. You put all your money in the bank and you can whistle at the bank and you can do all kinds of crazy things to get the money out of the bank. But you know what you have to do? Either write a check or go to the bank to get it, don't you? You have to apply yourself to get the bank. You know what you have to do to be saved? You have to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then there'll be a withdrawal made when you put your faith and trust in him. Now, go on with me here. Let me read verse 21. This, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, my friends, when you get saved by the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ is imputed in you. Now, sin is imputed when you break the law. But the very minute that you get saved by the grace of God, the blood of Christ covers those sins. And his righteousness is imputed in you. And Brother Johnny, that just sounds so technical. Well, you know, sometimes I think it's pretty technical too, but it's really pretty simple. As a matter of fact, it's simple enough that a 7-year-old could understand it. I know. I was there. I saw it happen. So, Brother Johnny, what do you think happened? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't really know what I preach, but most of the time when I'm in a revival and I preach, the first thing I talk about is sin. That before anybody can ever be saved, they got to realize they're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And you can go on and on, my friend. The wages of sin is death. And even a child understands right and wrong. And my Rachel had a real sense of right and wrong. And then when that transpires, the holy power of God, my friends, convicted her, and she realized she was lost. You say, well, Brother John, how do you know? Her actions showed that she was lost. She realized that she was separated away from God. And all week I've been talking about that. I think the most important thing, my friend, that must transpire before an individual begins to seek the Lord is they must understand that they're separated away from God. And that understanding is not just here. As a matter of fact, it's already gone way past here, and it's come to here. There's that condemnation. Now, I want to read a verse. The first says in the first verse of the 5th chapter, says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no more condemnation. Why? Because there's peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that peace can mean that we're no more at enmity with God. In other words, because His blood's been applied. But I also think it's a peace, my friend, that you and I experience as believers. And listen, that's what it says, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, when you get saved by the grace of God, you realize something's happened. It's just not a mind change, my friend, but it's a heart change. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people that die and go to hell by 18 inches. They're going to think that they took care of things up here in their mind. They did everything they were told, and they did everything that someone led them to do, but they didn't have any change in their heart. They never got saved. Yeah. I tell you, one of the saddest days, I believe, will be when people stand before the Lord, and He talks about this in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. And they say, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in Thy name and done many wonderful works? And you know what He's going to say to them? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What? I never knew you. I didn't know you. You know, someone said, well, I know about God. I'm going to tell you what, folks. I know a lot of people. I know about our president. I know about our governor. I know about the mayor of my city. I've never met them. I don't know them personally, but I know Jesus Christ personally, my friend. And Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that I've committed to Him against that day. What day is He talking about? Well, I believe it's the day that He dies. Yeah, he'll count on the Lord of what He did for him when He saved his soul. You see, my friends, in order for the righteousness of God, in order for us to be justified, you see, what happens when you get saved is you're justified. You're before God just as though you've never sinned. Brother Carter used to talk about that, and I said, what in the world is he talking about? I'm going to tell you, we're sinners. But the very moment that we get saved by the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ is imputed in us. And when God Almighty looks down upon you and me, He looks through the blood of Christ, and He looks at you just as though you've never sinned, because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the blood's been applied to your soul. That's why we always talk about that time and that place. That's exactly what happened. The righteousness of Christ was imputed in you, and you're treated just as though you've never sinned, is what he's talking about there. You see, friends, in order to know the Lord, you've got to understand what it means to be a sinner. You've got to understand what Jesus Christ did so that you once again could be made righteous with God. And then now you've got to take care of what it is that God has required for you to do in order to be saved. You know, I've often wondered when Rachel was down praying as a 7-year-old, what was going through her mind. You know, repentance. I reckon a 7-year-old would really understand. What in the world does it mean to repent? And say, you know what the Bible says? It's the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. The Bible says that God hath granted repentance unto life first to the Jew, and then later He granted it to the Gentile. You know what that tells me? Is God knows exactly what He needs to share with you as an individual as what it means to be able to come to the end of yourself. You know, I sought the Lord a long time, and others have not. But during that time of seeking Him, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out and understand what it meant to trust Him with all of my heart. And you would have thought it would have been that hard, because I had a mama I could trust. I had a daddy I could trust. I had grandpa and grandma. I had people I could trust. You would think I would understand. But when they talked about just surrendering all and letting God do that, that I couldn't understand for some reason. I just felt like there's some way I needed to earn it. You know, but for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when I got saved, as I've said all week, when I got saved because I finally realized there was nothing I could do to save myself. And Lord, if you didn't do it, I wasn't going to get it. And I'll never forget when I thought that. Just as soon as I thought that, the burden lifted and peace came. Now, I had a hard time because I wasn't praying. I'd done plenty of praying, but my heart had just surrendered, and that's when the Lord saved my soul. Oh, folks, and I understand the righteousness of the Lord now. I realize how mean I am, the things I have to deal with in my life, and I'm always working toward the sanctification. But what the Lord did for me as a 13-year-old boy, my friends, His righteousness was imputed. And this evening, whoever you are, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got a similar experience like that. I spoke about it, I think it was yesterday morning. I spoke about the importance of understanding all the things that transpire. But you see, why do we need to be saved? We need to be saved because we're sinners. How are we saved? As we understand that Christ came to die for our sins, and then we put our faith and trust in Him to take away our sins. And when we total surrender our hearts to us, you know what He'll do? He'll impute His righteousness in us. In that very moment, He'll give us peace. The Bible speaks of it as a joy unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that passeth all understanding. That's what I'm talking about when I say we're saved once we repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord. So may God bless you this evening. I don't know who here is lost. I don't know who here the Lord is dealing with, but this I do know. The power of God, my friends, will reveal to you the things we've spoken here tonight and make them real to you. He'll reveal to you that you are a sinner and separated and away from Him. And He'll draw you with His love and His power to bring you to that place. As I mentioned, He granted repentance. He'll bring you to a place of surrender. But you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to come to the blood bank of Jesus to get the blood. You'll have to make an effort to Him. You'll have to seek Him, and you'll seek Him when you search for Him. You'll find Him when you search for Him with all of your heart. So may God bless you is my prayer. I don't know your heart here tonight, but I do know this. If you'll come and seek and find the Lord, if He's dealing with your heart, and if you'll come and seek Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him tonight. I believe that with all my heart. When you come to the end of yourself with the help of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's a promise. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden," and there's a promise that He will give you rest. But He bids you come. So tonight, I want you to know, the reason you need to be saved, because you're a sinner. And the way you get saved is you realize that Christ Jesus died for your sins, and you come to Him, and you put your faith and trust in Him. And the very moment that you do that, you'll find Him precious to your soul. While we stand together and sing, would you come and seek Him with all your heart tonight? I appreciate you hearing me.